Well, no Katie today, no Katie the rest of the week. She's taking her last vacation days before the start of Kings season, which is great. It's around the corner right after football. We got college football coming up this weekend, fantasy football drafts. All that means to me is that, and all I care about right now is that that means that at some point, fairly soon, it's going to start cooling down. And we will get into fall and crisp mornings and not 109 degrees. Thank you. Later this hour, a pair of tickets to see Creedence Clearwater Revisited and Three Dog Night, September 15th, Thunder Valley Casino and Resort. I'm going to that one. KHTK.com. We'll give you information on that. Also, we're going to let you know later in this week how you can be a part of the Drives Fantasy Football League. I think this is year three. I believe so. We always have a blast there. Hey, Mike Pereira is going to join us in about a minute. And what I always like to do when Mike comes on, Now, Mike is the former head of officiating with the NFL, works for Fox Sports. He's the guy you see when there's a replay, something in the booth, a questionable call. He's the guy that any of the Fox announcers, they go to back in studio and ask for clarity. What I always like to do is I have my questions for Mike, and we'll hit those. But I always like to open it up to you guys. So this is where you can use the text line. That's probably the best way, or 339-1140. If you have questions on any of the new rules, anything coming up in the football season that you'd like to ask Mike, 44-1140 or 339-1140. So the former VP of officiating in the NFL, current rules analyst at Fox Sports, and a local guy, the one, the only, Mike Pereira. Mike, it's Dave. How are you?
It was 75 degrees in New York yesterday. It was no humidity, a little breeze. It was gorgeous. Same in Washington on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. God. It's 108 degrees here. What do you mean, how am I?
I know. And, you know, I said Mike's a local cat, and I've had the opportunity of playing golf with you a few times out here at some different tournaments. I know Greg Vaughn had his tournament yesterday that I had to miss with everything going on. Those poor guys, Scott Moak and Greg and Derek Lee was out there, all those guys. I know you normally probably would have been out there playing in 108-degree weather, Mike.
I think we're all going to start moving our tournaments till January.
Mike, I want to start off and ask you, I know you've been probably asked a ton about the Vontaze Burfict hit and the pending five-game suspension. Now, I'm emotional because I don't like the way Vontaze Burfict plays, and I welcome any suspension that he gets. I think he's a dirty player. But that shouldn't matter, should it, Mike? It should just matter about the hit. Did you think that was an illegal hit?
Well, no, but I think that should matter.
Okay.
Because the league does look at history and history of a player. And, I mean, it doesn't go as far back. Look as far back as Burfict goes when you're talking about his antics at Arizona State and he got suspended there. But, you know, people are trying to say, is it a foul? Is it not a foul? Listen, it's a cheap shot. I mean, that's the main thing for me. It is a cheap shot on a player that wasn't expecting to get hit. The ball's in the air. It's a cheap shot. You know, the new rule, the Bengals are trying to defend that he was head up on the receiver, you know, face to face with him. He was not. I mean, that's that play where you get basically a free shot to the head is with a tight end releasing off the line and making contact with a linebacker, it's a foul. You don't get, even with it's within 5 yards, you don't get the right to try to punish a guy. I mean, even within that 5-yard belt, you can't block a receiver in the back. It's a foul. So receivers are still protected to a degree. And it's a cheap shot. It's an ugly shot. And how the player didn't get hurt is kind of surprising to me. And, you know, I think what this does set up is one more of these, and it's not five games.
Yeah.
One more of these, it's a season.
Mike Pereira with us on KHDK. Mike, we all get to look at rule changes and different things the NFL does every summer. Back when you were in charge of your referees, what was it that would frustrate you the most? Was it ambiguity? What was it that would cause you the most frustration?
Well, it's interesting that you would ask that question, because the Burfict hit is one that would frustrate me because they didn't call a foul, and the league would always be pretty unhappy with me when they had to fine a player or suspend a player for an action on the field and the officials didn't call it. And I'm hard-pressed to understand why this wasn't called except for when the ball goes in the air in a pass play. You know, the mantra that officials follow is man zone ball. So you have a man when the ball is snapped, you have a zone during the play before the pass, and then when the ball goes in the air, everybody's eyes, the deep officials, go to the receiver. And so maybe that's why that was missed, but that would frustrate me, you know, greatly. I understand, you know, misses in pass interference when it comes to judgment and those types of things. But, you know, when you have a player safety play like that, that is obvious and even is part of this brand new rule, which, you know, that they studied at the clinic and showed video at their officiating clinic, that, that you would miss that. And, you know, I'm not certain whose responsibility it was, based on the formation and based on where it was when the ball was thrown. But I know there'll be ample discussion in New York this week on why that wasn't picked up.
I was watching Hard Knocks on HBO, and on, I think it was the first or second episode, that Ed Hockley go into Tampa Bay and work with these guys on amongst other things, the new celebration rules. And we'll get to that in a second. But is that a practice? Is that a practice that's been happening for a long time? I thought it was a phenomenal idea. I love the idea. Is that something that was going on back when you were there?
Yeah, well, I mean, back in, I mean, my first year in the league in 1996, they sent you to training camps, and I drew the Oakland Raiders, which was phenomenal because it was in Napa, and the Raiders didn't like the officials, and they didn't want us around any more than necessary. So, you know, we'd go to their morning practice, and then they would say, they'd tell us, hey, the nearest winery is here. Go do some wine tasting. So, you know, when we came back for the afternoon session, you know, we had tasted about three or four wines. But it's a common practice, and probably expanding a bit now that they are looking toward this very vague term of full-time officials, these 21 new people that they are claiming are full-time. There'll be a little bit more representation at these training camps. But the more players and coaches know about the rules and the interpretation, and the more that officials know about, you know, coaches and how they coach and what they try to do to create advantages, the more each learns of each other's, you know, duties, I think it's better for the game. And that's always something that's good.
Mike Pereira with us. And Mike, I was going to ask you towards the end of the interview, you brought it up, so I'll ask you. One of the things is the NFL going for more full-time officials, saying the goal will be to get to 21 to 24, although they say that'll take some time, want some more full-timers in place for the start of this year. It sounds like you got kind of a raised eyebrow at that whole thing.
Well, it's not going to take time to fill the position because it's just a cherry job for these officials. I ran into one in LaGuardia Airport yesterday who was there to interview for the position. And I said it directly to his face, you know, please don't try to tell me that this is a full-time job. I said, if it's a full-time job, you couldn't keep your other job. But in this arrangement that they have, you can still keep your job. I mean, really all that's happening here is that the league is getting first dibs to you if they want you to do something. So if they want you to go to an OTA or a training camp, and then they can call you and say, hey, and give you 48 hours notice that they want you to go here to this team to talk to them. Or if they say to you, hey, I want you to go work, go spend a day with this official who struggled last year, then they can do that. But it's not full time. I mean, and I think that it is this whole thing. And I told this young man yesterday and he kind of laughed. I mean, it's PR. I mean, that's what this is. The league has been under such intense heat with officiating over the last few years, and the call for full time. They've put together this thing which pays an official, quite frankly, it pays him an extra $40,000. That's what he gets. That's one quarter of what he makes now being part time. So it the notion that it's full time is ludicrous. Now, is it a step toward something of a full time? Maybe. But I don't know how you consider a guy full time when he doesn't get benefits, when he's still a member of the union, and he keeps his old job.
Mike, nobody's smarter about this than you, so I'll ask you. Roger Goodell calls you later today and says, Mike, I'm going to give you a budget of whatever you want within reason, whatever you need, and I'm going to let you take this whole thing over. You make them full-time. What are you doing with them in your perfect world? What are refs doing in the offseason? Are they precluded from any other jobs? How would your basic setup be if you had carte blanche from the league?
I'd say I don't want them full time.
Okay.
I mean, here's what you do. Give me the budget, and here's what I want. I want my 17 referees, those that faces appear on the camera, those that are the leaders of their crews, those that teach their crews. I want these 17 full time. They get no other jobs. And during the season, after a game is over on Sunday, they don't go home. They go to an officiating institute somewhere in the center of the country. They study everything together. They break down things together. They arrive at interpretations together so that the messages that go out to their 17 crews on the weekend are consistent messages. They're involved in putting together rule changes. Every aspect of officiating goes through these 17 referees, and they role play. They learn how to make proper announcements. They don't leave us out in the cold with there's no foul on the play. Well, how about explaining and telling us why there was no foul when there was a flag was thrown? There's much to be accomplished with the 17 referees, and I think that would be the biggest difference maker in trying to get officiating to the next step. And don't tell me, Commissioner, don't tell me that, well, we can't do that because we're going to lose Ed Hockley. He's not going to give up his law practice. Well, my response to you, Mr. Commissioner, is the hell with Ed Hockley. Let's put him back in his old position before he became a referee, and let's get 17 committed individuals to become referees. And I'll take a young college referee and make him full time, and I'll tell you, he'll improve more in 1 year than Ed Hockley would in 5 as part time when he first started out. So that would be my response to the commish. And by the way, he'd tell me to go to hell, but he's done that before.
Yeah, I was gonna say it would be the first time you and Roger have gotten in an argument. Oh, Mike Pereira joining us on KHTK. And Mike, it seems from both sides, from both the referee side and the player side and the coach's side, to be fair, it's inconsistency that is always maybe one of the, if not the biggest issue. You mentioned explanations, and don't just say why there was a foul on the play and, you know, explain it. We've also seen situations where you'll get some refs that kind of go off the rails, and I've seen, you know, 20, 30-second explanations. Is there a happy medium for you, or do you say take all the time you need, be concise, but get that explanation out there?
No, I think there is a happy medium. I mean, we know that Ed Hockley, who I adore and I think is really a good referee, I know he's a good referee, as a matter of fact, he gets a bit verbose. You know, I think he looks at the television camera somewhere near the top of the stadium and looks at it as the jury, and he wants to make his closing arguments. But I do think that he goes beyond what's necessary sometimes. I think that much like replay, it needs to be clear and concise and obvious and get the obvious stuff out of the way quickly. If there is something confusing, and when you talk about flag pickups or you talk about, you know, passes that are deemed uncatchable, to be able to turn on the microphone and efficiently explain why, then you need to do so. But the problem is not all 17 referees are equal and don't have equal abilities of the Ed Hockley or the Gene Steratores. And some some freeze up a bit when they hit that switch, and they know that there's millions of people watching them. So it's a skill, but it's a skill set that can be taught. And I know even from my time, we didn't do enough of that. We didn't teach enough of the things away from what is holding, what is pass interference. We could have done a better job of teaching those types of tools that that referees need to be successful.
Former VP of officiating the NFL, current rules analyst at Fox Sports, Mike Pereira. Mike, as we wrap up, I could just imagine referees losing their hair and maybe you pulling some of yours out when these celebration rules came down. You talk about inconsistency, and this just seems like the NFL is kind of putting the hot potato in the hand of these referees. Am I wrong in thinking that this is just a recipe for disaster?
Well, I certainly think it's a step toward that, but then you're talking about the former president of the No Fun League.
Yeah.
I duly accepted the title because I'm the one that feels like sportsmanship is an issue here. And, you know, and I think the game is a team game, and for every Dez Bryant that catches a touchdown pass in the end zone, and now who's going to do who knows what on September 10th, you know, there were five guys up front that were blocking for him. There was a quarterback that threw the perfect pass, you know, and for all of the attention to go on the one person, to me, is just not what the game should represent to those that are playing it on the youth level and high school level. But I think from the official standpoint, I think they're going to probably lay off a little bit more. And that's probably wise, because now there is some ambiguity, you know, as to what is or what isn't excess. And so, you know, let the league find it. You know, and you know, if the thing is extended too far. And so I think the officials are going to be okay. But, you know, we're trying, I guess, to get the millennials involved in having more fun in the game. I'm still convinced that, you know, the people who watch football are more interested in their team or their bet than they are the celebration that some guys or some dance he's going to put on in the end zone.
Well, and last thing for you, Mike, in that same Hard Knocks episode, Ed Hockley was talking to Gerald McCoy, and McCoy was saying, okay, so if it's two pumps of my hips and I'm not making eye contact, that's fine, but if it's three pumps and I'm making eye contact, it's sexual, and that's a flag. And you heard Ed kind of trying to mull through that. If you're instructing your refs, if they were yours at the start of the season, is it just when in doubt, don't flag it?
Well, I mean, I think when it comes to how many pumps, you know, you get to be my age, one pump does the trick. So, you know, I mean, that's sexual. So, you know, I think, look, at any time you see, there are certain triggers, you know, there are triggers, and the triggers, you know, when it comes to twerking, is anything right off the bat that suggests that it's sexual in nature is I think will draw the flag. And, you know, and on the air in Washington, we talked about the three things that they can do now that they couldn't do before. And that is they can do a group choreographed demonstration. You know, you can have two or more players do something. Doesn't have to be, you know, instant. It can be choreographed. They can do that as long as they don't extend it too long and affect the try. They can use the ball as a prop. Can't use anything else as a prop. I mean, you can't pick up a pylon and use it as a putter and putt the ball, and you still can't do that. And you can go to the ground to celebrate. So if you want to go to the ground and do a snow angel, you can do that when, God forbid, 108 degrees. We're just talking about snow, but you can do that. But you can't do a shoot like simulate shooting a six gun. You can't do the throat slash. You can't shoot a bow and arrow. You know, those things are automatics. But now the key is, and the thing looking going forward is, players are pretty creative. So those are the old standards. What are they going to come up with new, and where does that fall within the guidelines? And we'll just have to wait and see.
Every year since I can remember playing in Grant Napier's golf tournament, whether Mike's there or not, one of the coolest prizes at the silent auction is, well, actually, no, it's not a silent auction. It's a live auction, is Mike gives away a trip, airfare, stay, I think, at the Beverly Hilton or some great hotel.
Beverly Wilshire,
geez. And then and the opportunity to go into the booth and watch what Mike does on Sundays. And then you get to meet the whole cast of the show itself. Just an absolute priceless opportunity. It's always one of the most, if not the most, popular item out there. I say that just to kind of underscore, Mike, that not only are you a good golfer, I've seen it personally, but you're a good guy. Battlefields to Ballfields. I'm on the website right now, and I know that's something near and dear to your heart. And by the way, you guys can check it out at battlefieldstoballfields.org. I see the gorgeous picture of you right there on the front page there.
I need to get that replaced. And I do appreciate you mentioning that. We actually placed our 63rd veteran on the payrolls of officiating in
wow.
different areas of the country. A young man, a young veteran from Rochester, New York, worked his first game Saturday in the Finger Lakes Football Officials Association. Really a cool deal. We're getting veterans some work on the field with kids and guiding some people's lives, and it's been really cool.
You do good stuff, Mike, and it's been too long since we've been out there. You watch me hack it around, and you saving our asses in a scramble. So when it cools down.
You're long, but you're crooked. You know,
That's what she said. Mike, I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a great season. I'm sure we'll be talking to you throughout.
You got it. Take it easy.
All right, you too, buddy. That's Mike Pereira. That's Mike Pereira joining us. And it is another season of NFL football, Kyle. I mean, somebody said on the text line, too, and I don't want to get into it too much with Mike, especially after he said one pump at my age is enough. But really, what is sexual? I love the fact, what is sexual in nature? I mean, what is it?
Me.
Right? I mean, somebody asked a great question. Can you lick the ball? Can you? I don't know. Is there a difference between a lick?
Tom Brady takes his helmet off. They're like,
that is
sexual in nature.
Tosses his hair around a little bit. Stands in front of the fan, Michael Jackson style. What the hell is sexual in nature? Dunking the ball on the field goal.
Sexual in nature.
Yeah, not sexual. I think still a penalty, though. I believe
yeah.
that's still a penalty.
I think that's a penalty because Jimmy Graham literally dislodged a goalpost.
That's what it is. I think that's the reason why. It's not that it's offensive. It's that it can actually screw things up. Mike's a good guy. We'll have him on throughout the year, and he lives right up there in Lincoln, too. So a local kid, local guy made good. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll revisit the top stories from today, including Matthew Stafford will be the highest-paid player in the NFL. We'll tell you there's a pretty amazing connection. We mentioned it earlier in the show between him and the highest-paid player in another sport. Goes back all the way to when they were 5 years old. We'll tell you next about that and break down that contract right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, Katie off this week. Myself and Kyle Madsen taking your phone calls at 339-1140. A pair of tickets to see Creedence Clearwater Revisited and Three Dog Night, September 15th, Thunder Valley Resort. We got your information at KHDK.com. We'll give those away in about 10 minutes, so stand by for that. Our thanks to Mike Pereira. A lot of responses to Mike anytime he comes on, and they're almost all thumbs up. A lot of good information from Mike, from a guy who's been there before as the VP of officiating for the NFL. it never ceases to make me smile when you piss off a Cowboy fan. Mike had made a comment about celebrating, and he mentioned Dez Bryant. Mike's old school. He doesn't like the celebrating, likes the sportsmanship, doesn't want to see it happen. I get it. This guy's from the 916. Man, that dude's a hater. Dez is by far not the worst celebrator. All he does is throw up the X. Nothing crazy. Why is it that everyone attacks a Cowboy? If it's at Dez or Dak or Zeke or it was Romo, it's so obvious that people are just haters. Be objective. Damn. I love Cowboy fan. I love football fan. It's not just Cowboy fan.
That's what I learned from Twitter, actually. I used to just be like, Cowboy fans are the worst. Like, no, Cowboys fans are just football fans, and they're loud.
Yeah.
Like, every football fan is the worst.
Every single one. Every single team has that group.
I want to get Be Objective Damn on a t-shirt.
That should be our new show slogan. The Drive, Be Objective Damn. Come on. College football is, well, it's here. I mean, Stanford rolled Rice. That doesn't sound right. Rice, the university, 62-7 last weekend. South Florida won. Ohio State's in action this Thursday. Oklahoma State's a couple of top 10 teams. You got Washington going on Friday. Kyle, I'm starting to get nervous, man. I've known about it. I've known about it since last year. But 5 o'clock. I just realized I got a serious problem. 5 o'clock on Friday, on Saturday. My God, it just hit me live on the air. Jeez, I'm hosting my legacy league, my football league with high school buddy. I've been doing this since I was 18 years old. That's the one I've been doing forever. I'm hosting that draft party at the old house at noon on Saturday. We're gonna do some burgers, some dogs, some beer. Be men.
Are you going to do candied bacon hot dogs?
Yeah, damn right I'm going to do candied bacon hot dogs. I'm going to do that, and we're going to have some foods and draft. That's at noon. But then that night, my wife won at her work. She won 4 tickets to the River Cats game on Saturday night. That game starts at 7:30. Florida State, Alabama is at 5. That's not good. I still can't figure out how to dial out on this phone. I got to figure it out. I did that. Don't worry about it. Man.
If you want.
Yeah.
I'll go pick up 4 tickets to a River Cats game, trade you those. I'll go to the River Cats game this Saturday so you can watch Bama and FSU.
Really?
Yeah.
You get there's a barbecue there. You get food. The food's free.
I'm in.
You in?
If you throw in a batch of candied bacon hot dogs,
you can reheat them too. That's a beauty thing. I can bring you a big old Tupperware thing of that. That's not, oh boy, I don't know what to do about that because it's one of those. It's a family thing. I gotta do it.
Okay, is this an option for you? It's not for me.
Yeah.
But is this an option for you where you DVR it and just shut out social media on the phone?
Nope,
not an option?
Nope.
Me neither.
Nope.
Me neither.
Nope. Absolutely not an option. Since I can't call
this
out.
This is good.
This is good. This is good radio. I'm actually holding the speakerphone up to the...
I did this in college radio a
few times.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I did, too. It doesn't matter. My wife's not going to pick up. Because I don't know. The thing is, she'll say, go ahead, go.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the radio.
Oh, great.
It's my wife. Hey, I just realized something.
What?
So, you know how I have the football draft I'm doing this Saturday? And then we've got the baseball game that night?
Yeah.
The River Cats? What am I going to do here? Florida State, Alabama is at 5.
I don't care about that.
Wait, you don't care about Florida State, Alabama?
No, it's called DVR. Just don't look at your phone. I know it's like impossible
yes!
for you, but
you think you think I'll be able to DVR number 1 versus number 3, go to the River Cats game, and nobody's gonna say anything?
Who's gonna say anything?
Somebody will come up and be like, "Hey, Dave, how about those Alabamas?"
Why? Because you're so popular.
No,
everyone just comes up to you and tells you Florida State scores.
This is amazing.
Let me ask you this. What happens if I'm right and somebody comes up Saturday night and out of the blue they tell me the score and you're there to see it? Do I get I told you so's for like a month?
You can say all you want. Doesn't mean I'm going to listen. So.
Wow. You know, if I DVR the game too, that makes a difference karma-wise.
Here's the thing. You cannot go to the game. And then I'll just tell our kids that daddy's too busy watching football. So pick one or the other.
What if you and Avery go to the game and Mason stays back with me to watch Florida State?
No, thank you.
Why? You and Avery can go.
You and Avery can watch football.
Why not you and Avery? You have a girls' night.
Because Avery doesn't care about baseball.
Well, why is Avery going? Because she has to?
It's supposed to be a family night.
No, I know.
But we're like a broken family because of football. So.
We're not a broken family. I'm going to go. I'm just saying I don't know what to do. Ooh, I wonder if I can watch it on my phone. What about that? Would you get mad if I was watching the game on my
phone? Dude, you're like never there because you're outside smoking half the time anyways.
People asked me last week why I don't ever bring my wife on the radio.
This is remarkable. It also just hit me that she can't hear me.
My wife can't hear you because she's Kyle's saying stuff in my ear. He says hello. And our phones are screwed up, so that's why I'm calling you on my cell phone.
So can people actually hear me right now?
People can hear you. They can hear you. They can hear your squeak. I'm already getting texts as to why I'm married to an 8-year-old.
Hey, I graduated.
Hey,
I used to be 7.
Why is Avery in her room tonight?
Because she is not nice. And I don't really want to talk about it on the air. So.
Same thing as yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll deal with that when I get home?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I love you.
Hey, love you too.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Bye.
I'm glad that you guys just picked favorite children on the air.
Okay. Well, I guess I'll be watching the game on my phone at Raleigh Field this weekend. What could possibly go wrong with that?
Hey, I'm sure you know somebody that'll be up in the press box. Get that press Wi-Fi password. Pro tip.
Oh.
Don't try and use whatever complimentary thing they have there if it's anything.
That's a great point.
Get that press Wi-Fi.
You know what? I wonder. It's where I'm gonna make people hate me. But I wonder if I could use. I wonder if I could do the old swing the old radio host thing. And I wonder if I could get like a 1-game pass and just go up to the press box. They gotta have a TV on. There's gotta be a TV on Florida State, Alabama somewhere.
Oh,
there.
There definitely will be. Like for sure.
So, I don't know. Listen, I've been married 10 years, and I'm still new at this, but I got the distinct impression that not going to the game and staying home and watching Florida State, Alabama, I got the distinct impression off that phone call that is not an option.
Yeah, no, I would absolutely plan on being at the baseball game.
From the 916, can Kyle go with Dave's family and play the role of father/loving husband? Have at it, buddy. You're still young.
I have cats, dude. That's
my wife is kind of like a cat. It's the same thing. You know how the cat gets tired of you and it just lifts its tail and puts its butt in your face and walks away?
That's what your wife does when she gets mad. I can't get my girlfriend to do that ever.
I mean, that sounds like a good thing, but it's in the bad way where she just walks away, just like a cat. Hey, Dave, do you occasionally get to look at your junk in the jar that's on the mantle? Yes, once a year on my birthday, my wife takes out my cojones, and lets me hold them for a while. I haven't seen them, though, consistently in 10 years. You're 100% right. From the 808, Dave, I know, a great divorce lawyer. Let me know when you grow a pair. What am I supposed to do? Really, honestly, am I supposed to stay home? My kids are 9 and 8 years old. It's a baseball game. It's a classic Saturday night. All right, we'll take a break. That's depressing for me, though. Oh, by the way, I want to pay off the tease that I did before. Matt Stafford and Clayton Kershaw knew each other when they were 6. There you go. Sorry, that got derailed. They knew each other when they were 6. They played soccer, and they looked a bunch alike. We covered that in the 6 a.m. There you go. Well, now my father's checking in. Here's my dad. I haven't even read it yet. How much you want to bet he's volunteering to go in my place? Let's see. Hold on. I know we got a break, Kyle. Let me see what my dad said. Let's see. Dad. Mom says she'll go to the Rivercats game with the girls. My dad will watch Florida State with me and Mason. Problem solved. No, you just heard. She didn't want it. She's pissed at Avery. She didn't want to go with her. She has a favorite child, and it's not the girl. It's her son who can do no wrong. Her son could knock off a liquor store and steal a car, and Melissa just think it was cute that he's expressing himself. We'll take a break. On a scale of 1 to 10, how unhappy is your wife to be married to you? Well, if 10 is unhappy, well, let's just see. We'll take a break. When we get back, we'll wrap up the show. We'll do a rebrew next right here on the Drive Sports 1140 KHDK. Text line's going crazy. Hey, that Mattress Firm spot out of context sounded very bitter. Imagine Dave looking like Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places when he crashes the Christmas party.
great movie. Underrated film.
Pro dad tip. Sounds like your kids don't want to go to the ball game either. Get them on your side, and pretty soon your wife won't want to go to the game either. Hey, now, trust me when I say my kids want to go to the game very bad. I want to go to the game, too. I do. I will enjoy the game this weekend. I love going to the River Cats games. I do. I honestly do. I just have a scheduling conflict.
Russell called in.
Oh, Russell, the muscle.
And made the point that it's going to be hot.
I know.
On Saturday.
Well, wait, it's a night game, isn't it?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's a night game. It will be hot.
Hey, honestly, you'll probably catch, what, the first quarter? Maybe a little bit of the second quarter?
That's the thing. Well, first off, she's going to drive because I'm watching it on the app. And it is, I believe it's an ABC game, so I'll get the ESPN Go app.
Oh, there you go.
So I'll have it on. The problem is, Kyle, is that when Florida State's playing in a big game, I'm just a flat psycho. I'm already a psycho, but I'm a psycho. I'm very difficult to be around, whether the team's winning or losing, until the game's over. And if they do lose, which I believe they will, I'm like despondent for the rest of the, I'm done. I have a problem when it comes to Florida State football.
No, that's understandable. That's just sports fandom, man.
Yeah, but it's a little. Anyways, we gotta.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
All right.
It's all good.
I'm already getting a little manic here just thinking about it. All right, let's get to it. Rebrew numero uno. Numero uno, please. It's true. Thanks for pulling that out, Kyle. Yeah, now I'm here on Twitter is how Carmichael Dave says he's a better baseball player than Derek Lee. Well, known fact about Derek Lee. He had a basketball scholarship offered to him by Dean Smith to play out of North Carolina. He turned it down to go play baseball. He was the 14th pick in the draft by the San Diego Padres.
Baseball's where the money's at, man.
Yeah, it worked out fine for Derek.
Sure did.
All right, rebrew number two. I honestly think we did fix tennis, and by we, I mean you.
Yeah, I like the trapdoor idea, too, though.
What if you combine them both, exploding balls and trapdoors? That sounds like marriage. By the way, one other note about this game this weekend. I have to be very careful because here's how it works in my household. My wife won the tickets to the baseball game, and I do legitimately want to go. So if I let on too much that I'm frustrated about, you notice during that phone call, she was like, no, you're going. You got to go. You got to go, man. But if I throw up too much frustration, it snap, and I never know where the line is, but it snap turns to, you know what, if you're going to be like that, I just don't want you to go. You can't go now. So thanks a lot for ruining the trip. You can't go. And then somehow by the end of the week, it's going to turn into me begging her to let me go to the baseball game because I don't want to be, you know, jacked for the next week.
You are speaking to parts of my soul that people don't even know exist.
How so?
Just I've run into that situation.
That's what you deal with?
So many times.
Good, because I thought
throughout
it was
my life. No, it's not just you.
Somehow I end up arguing on the side that I don't want to be on in a lot of these things.
It's like forced Stockholm syndrome.
It's rebrew number three. What is the official start of fall, by the way? Is this out right? Are we out at like 8:59? That's cray. Usually it's earlier.
I might have actually done the math wrong. I'm a comms major, so.
Well, it's saying right here we got 3 minutes and 30 seconds. That puts us out at 8:59. Now, I just don't like me. Sometimes Jim Rome gets ready for a show.
8:58. I did do the math wrong. I'll fix that.
That's fine. So we got 2.5.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing more uncomfortable than still being in this chair when Jim Rome comes in the studio ready to do a show, and you're not ready? From the 916, Dave, you're a better talk show host than Derek Lee. Well, that's unconfirmed.
Great point.
I mean, maybe. I feel like Derek's kind of a quiet guy. He could do something.
I wanted to touch on something Mike Pereira brought up.
Yeah.
He said that the officials go into training camp and, like, practice the new rules.
Yes.
And this year, one of the things is a celebration rule. So did they just have players go out and just start celebrating?
Dude, if you saw the thing I was referring to on Hard Knocks, you had Gerald McCoy of the Buccaneers right in front of Ed Hockey. He's like, Ed, I mean, And he's got his hands behind his head, and he's thrusting his hips. He's like, now, is this sexual? Now, if I'm looking in your eyes, is this sexual? Okay, well, now what am I looking? And Ed's sitting there, and Hockey Lee's going, okay, now, if you're looking at me and smiling, that's sexual. But if you're looking in the sky or you have a serious look on your face, they're really going over this stuff. 339-1140 gets you a pair of tickets to see Creedence Clearwater Revisited and Three Dog Night, September 15th, Thunder Valley Casino and Resort. More info at KHDK.com. Go ahead and be the 12th caller right now and be patient. Kyle, I'll get to you when we sign off. Be patient, and you'll have yourself a pair of tickets. Do not agree to go to the concert, however, and then try to back out. You know, I think when we get to the show tomorrow, Kyle, now that I'm thinking about Florida State, Alabama this Saturday, I'm wondering, you know, what is the sports gateway to fall? What is the official sports gate? And I'm not talking about weather. Like, when do you consider it? Is it the opening of college football? Is it the opening of the NFL? Is it the opening of NBA training camps? Is it the first baseball playoff game? When is it fall?
Yeah, I think that wild card baseball game is officially when I'm like, all right, it's fall. My alternative is those first, like, BYU versus whoever BYU played this weekend.
Right, like Stanford and Rice last weekend?
Yeah, Stanford and Rice. BYU, San Jose State. No, San Jose State played USF.
Sure.
Whatever it was.
I get your
but
point.
Those first kind of crappy college football games, but it's too hot for that.
That's what I'm
saying.
And it's
August still, like, MLB playoffs. That's October. That's fall.
I mean, college football is here, but it's not fall. I don't know what it is. All right, that's it. For Kyle Madsen, for Mike Pereira, for Chris Mannix, and for my wife, I'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your broadcast day, kids, right here on Sports 1140 KHTK.